Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Research VR Podcast. Today we are joined here by Tim Suzman, co-founder and CEO of Fearless, who are trying to help you overcome the fears that you have. I'm glad you're joining us today.
Thank you.
So Tim, tell us a little bit about what you are building.
Sure. So we are building a VR application to help people overcome fears. So the idea is if you're scared of spiders or heights or snakes or flying or needles or whatever the fear is, you can face and overcome that fear using virtual reality.
Very cool. And why is virtual reality the thing that you're using to do this?
Okay, so in the past, psychologists have used exposure therapy to help people overcome fears. Uh-huh. And that's been a very successful clinical treatment.
And what is exposure therapy?
And the way exposure therapy works is essentially it's also called systematic desensitization.
Right,
so expose someone to a fear, but a small version of the fear, and then work your way towards greater and greater, more significant exposures.
Right.
And basically you're training your brain to face the fear, you're training your brain that it can handle the anxiety, and eventually as you get closer to the sort of the more severe exposures or significant mm-hmm. exposures, at that point you have hopefully overcome the fear mm-hmm. and are able to handle the real world situation. So in the past, exposure therapy has been used very successfully. Normally, it's in vivo exposure therapy. So if you're scared of heights, you are going to an actual place that's high up, a balcony somewhere, and the psychologist is accompanying you, and you basically go on a field trip, or they bring a live spider into the office, and you expose yourself that way.
Right.
The idea behind Fearless is to use virtual reality instead of the in vivo exposure. And the advantages of that are numerous. One of the advantages is you can have all these scenarios that you might not have at your disposal
right.
in traditional exposure therapy. And the other advantage is we're hoping that for a lot of fears, we can actually build something that can be used at home without a psychologist.
Right. This gets me thinking. Obviously, this is great for spiders, heights, things like that.
Yep.
But could you... have you thought about recreating scenarios that people have, terrible memories of,
PTSD, for example?
Exactly.
Yeah. So there has been research, in fact, into using VR for PTSD.
Right.
And it's been quite effective in the research. It's harder to do because you have to somehow recreate the very specific experience that the
right.
person had. But there are research groups. We're working on that right now and trying to turn it into a service that can be used.
Right.
People coming back from the war and they had some traumatic experience, they can sort of recreate that in VR
right.
based on what the actual user experienced and sort of relive that experience in a way that can be therapeutic.
Wow, it's I think I've read some really interesting things through, I believe it was USC that was doing
research. Yes, so Skip Rizzo is one of the guys doing a lot of that stuff
right.
out of there. Yep.
So when you went into making Fearless, I'm guessing you kind of looked into cognitive behavioral therapy,
right.
exposure therapy. And so what did you learn from that and that really helped you kind of guide and design your Fearless app?
Sure. Yeah, so...
How is it different than just putting someone in front of a spider and then and just giving them enough time to be exposed to it?
Right. Okay. So there, it turned out when I it turned out as I looked into this idea that there had been a bunch of research done already into VR exposure therapy using
right.
older hardware, and it was already shown to be very effective, and. So the Fearless experience is based on some of those studies. It's based on the literature into how exposure therapy should be roughly how exposure therapy is done. The way traditional exposure therapy works is the user and the psychologist come up with a hierarchy, an exposure hierarchy. So what's your sort of ultimate, the greatest version of the fear, and then what is a smaller version of the fear? Mm-hmm. And so we come up with a hierarchy for you for something as simple, as specific as spiders, that hopefully will be a kind of roughly linear progression for most people. Mm. As we get more advanced, we'll be able to customize it and tailor it automatically to the specific user too.
So, I mean, how does that vary? Is in like people are more scared of like the size? Is it the size?
Yeah. So, yeah, so there's various, exactly. There's you know, the size, the proximity, the right. realism, the number, the speed, the unpredictability. There's various you know, characteristics which all can lead to a more significant exposure. And what we do with Fearless is we start you very easy. So it's a cartoon drawing of a spider on the wall is the first level.
And I'm sure some people are actually scared of that.
So some people are actually scared of just hearing the word spider.
Oh, wow.
And so really we'll probably add a couple levels before the cartoon drawing.
Right.
The cartoon drawing itself is very unthreatening. It's got a smiley face on it. It's a stick figure. You know, people have very different tolerances to these different exposure levels.
So how are you kind of planning on integrating this into people? Is it something through the clinic or through your doctor that will give it to you? Or is this something that, how are you planning on distributing it?
So the idea is for this to be something that people who have a fear that's not a severe clinical phobia, but someone who has a fear will be able to use this at home if they have a virtual reality headset. So if they have an Oculus Rift or a Gear VR or maybe a Google Cardboard or Daydream, then they'll be able to use this at home.
So you support it on all four of those platforms?
We're starting with the Gear VR and the Rift, but it's running on these other ones. We just need to tweak it a bit.
Speaking of which, have you noticed that having your hands in the experience helps you a lot in terms of the believability and the immersion?
It does.
And it scares people even more.
It does. It does help. You know, I've found actually that even without hands, you know, in the experience, you're sitting at a desk, mm-hmm. and you know, in the middle levels, there's a spider or spiders walking around on the desk. Mm-hmm. And I found even when people don't have virtual hands, if they have their real hands on the table, they'll pull them away when the spider walks towards them.
Right.
It's that feeling of their real hand being next to the virtual spider, even when they can't see their hand, is still a significant you know, reaction.
Right.
And I've done some experiments using virtual hands, and it makes it that much more real if you can get it to be convincing. So at the same time, we're trying to target there's not that many virtual reality headsets out there yet.
Sure.
So most people don't have virtual hands in their setup, but when they do, when that's more widespread, we definitely will be playing with that. Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
What has been some of the feedback that you've been receiving, as in from the vision that you had in terms of creating this to where you are now with Fearless? Who have been downloading this and trying them, and what kind of feedback in terms of stories and anecdotes have you been receiving?
Sure. So, the very first story is my own.
Right.
You know, I had this idea for Fearless, all these different fears that I could have started with. I decided to start with spiders as the first fear because I was afraid of spiders.
Hmm.
And so I was able to completely cure my own fear of spiders using Fearless.
Nice.
To the point where afterwards I went and held a live tarantula in my hand, which would have been my worst nightmare before. I never would have considered that. Now I've actually, my hope was that I would be able to sort of tolerate spiders better.
Right.
But what actually turned out to happen is I actually like spiders now. I find them fascinating.
Do you own a couple now?
No, I don't own any. I'm not like a spider person, but I, but when I see one, I'll pick it up and bring it outside if I need to, or I'll just leave it there if it's just me. So that was the first anecdote. In terms of general feedback I've gotten about the idea, you know, the product's not out into the market quite yet. It will be soon. But half the people I talk to have a fear they want to overcome,
right.
Because half the people have fears. And so I've gotten all sorts of positive feedback from people who have a fear of heights they want to overcome. They have a fear of needles, and they won't go to the doctor regularly because they're worried they're going to have to get a blood test. And right. there's all sorts of different fears that people want to overcome.
What kind of can we call them therapies or?
Sure. It may not qualify as a therapy per se, but it's essentially.
What kind of therapeutic experiences? Right. It's called, like, kind of category. So you have spiders.
Yeah.
You mentioned heights, right?
So we're going to launch with just spiders, but we're already working on our next experiences. So cockroaches, which that a good like 25% of people are afraid of cockroaches. but heights is the one when we started working on it, but that's the one that gets the most requests. It's like 35% of people are afraid of heights or more. And it works really well in VR because you get, you know, anyone who's tried VR and has demoed an experience with a cliff or an edge, you know, edge of a building or looking down something or a roller coaster knows that you get a really significant sense of vertigo or you know, you feel the height in a way that you do in real life. So it's gonna work really well for that.
Absolutely. Is there any thought or plans of like wanting to actually run this through a test and see like
totally yeah right? Absolutely. We will run our own clinical studies and everything. You know, we're basing it on the existing research to the extent that we can right now, but end of the day, it is something new to be able to do this without a psychologist.
Yeah.
And we would love to, you know, a little bit down the line, do our own clinical studies where we show how effective this is compared to, you know, traditional exposure therapy treatments.
Nice. Have you had a chance to show it to any like researcher to get some kind of feedback?
So we've shown it to a couple of psychologists who specialize in exposure therapy, and we weren't sure what kind of feedback we'd get from someone who does this in their practice in vivo exposure therapy. They loved it. The psychologists that we've talked to love the idea of bringing the idea behind exposure therapy to many, many more people. And they were totally on board with this idea.
Nice. They weren't worried about you taking away clients and things.
No.
No. Yeah, that's probably on another level of need for therapy.
Right. And you know, our goal is not to replace people doing exposure therapy.
Right.
That's not the goal. The goal is to bring the ideas behind exposure therapy to the millions of people who may not otherwise be able to afford it.
Right.
You know, it's going to cost $1,000 to go to a professional and be treated.
Or even use this as supplemental material.
Right? Yeah, totally. Right. Yeah, you can use it as, you know, psychologists will give people homework normally, like go find a spider or go do it somewhere with a you know high up place and practice what we were doing, and this could be used for that potentially.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That even with let's say like physical therapy, there's a lot of like homework that they give you to do.
Yeah.
But they've just been noticing that people rarely do these assigned tasks, and the question has always been like, how do you get compliance with your patients to do the things that they do.
Yep.
And they've noticed that VR has actually helped them. So even in physical therapy, I saw there was a study done with like Leap Motion I believe it was like stroke patients of like getting them to do certain specific exercises with their hand. And then they kind of gamified it as well. So like, you know, the more you do it, the more points or whatever the hell you want to put it in there. But yeah, so I think I could totally see Fearless as being like a great supplemental addition to like a full-on cognitive behavioral therapy course.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to VR, like pain management and exposure therapy, those are like the number one things that like research has been so involved in for like the past 10 years.
Right.
And so to see this actually hitting a mainstream market would be, you know, kind of like a great stepping stone for VR to get out of research and into consumer.
Exactly, exactly. And that's how we think what we're doing is a bit different than the research that's been done, is we're treating this like a startup, we're treating this like a technology company, and our goal is to bring this, ideally, to millions and millions of people. I think now's the time that we will be able to do that.
Yeah. So ideally, what actually would you like to solve using VR in terms of fears? Like, even if it's something really impossible to be able to do on like a, even a personal scale, but like, what is your number one fear that you're like, oh, I wish I could just like create an exposure therapy piece for it in VR?
Oh, for me personally?
Like what really interests you in terms of like solving? Like you've solved, you know, spiders,
right?
You know, using yourself as an example. What like really excites you for you to be able to like conquer?
So for me personally, my mission has gone from curing my own fear to curing other people's fears. That is what's driving me now. I mean, it was from the beginning, but I used to be more afraid of heights, but I've sort of overcome that now.
But in terms of like not even a general fear that people have, but like one that you keep seeing, like fear of clowns or something.
Oh,
I guess that wouldn't be that hard to do. Actually.
No, yeah, you could totally do that. I mean, the thing that's driving me right now is when I meet someone and they have a particular fear and they tell me how it's impacting their life and they ask if I can help them.
Right, right.
That is just an incredible opportunity. I had an Uber driver who has a fear of flying.
Okay.
And he hasn't been able to see his mother in 15 years. And he missed his brother's wedding because he couldn't fly. And he asked if I could help him overcome his fear of flying. I met a woman who is a runner and wants to be able to run across the Golden Gate Bridge, but she's afraid of heights.
Oh, wow.
If I could help her run across the Golden Gate Bridge, it would be just incredible.
Yeah.
And there's literally billions of people with stories like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what's driving me.
That's really interesting, where you have personal stories associated with every experience. So it seems like from a creator's perspective, like the users that you're affecting and the amount that you affect them is like significant. And especially hearing them like talking back to you in terms of what they want and how you help them, like that must be like an incredibly rewarding experience.
I think it will be just, yeah, exactly. Very, very rewarding.
Yeah.
Our mission is to cure fear, to cure unwanted fears.
Right.
And I think that VR is going to be the thing that enables us to do that. But each individual instance is going to be a story of someone who had a fear and overcame it.
How have you incorporated like audio into your experience?
Because
now that I think about it, if immersion is prime for, you know, especially in the later stages of exposure, then especially if you're on top of a building and you're trying to cure your fear of heights, then the sound of the
hearing the cars and the wind and everything. Yeah. Yeah. So for spiders, the sound doesn't play as big a role. You can't really hear a spider walking around. For the most part,
can you maybe add it in?
We could, we've experimented with that, and it does make it. It does add some. Even if it's not actually realistic, it adds some immersion.
Right.
One way we're using audio, by the way, is there's an audio guide that walks, that sort of plays the role of therapist and walks you through the experience and tells you what's coming next and teaches how exposure therapy normally works and talks about fear and all this.
That's awesome.
And another way we're using audio now is that the guide will actually ask you questions like, okay, how did you feel about that last level?
Oh, interesting.
And you'll respond verbally, and we record the response, if you're okay with it,
right.
We record the response and send it back to us so we can use it as feedback and learn more about how we can improve Fearless.
That's awesome.
So that's going to be our main way of getting feedback from users about how they felt about particular levels, how they felt about the experience altogether, how they feel at the end, if it seems to have helped them.
Right.
But yeah, totally for heights, hearing the wind rushing by, totally adds to the experience.
Absolutely. The more like multimodal you can make that experience, like the more here's a thought that just occurred to me. If you actually almost overstimulate them with, let's say, the spider, in terms of you make it seem like even more scary, like scarier than it actually is in real life.
Yeah.
Could you, like, once you actually encounter it in real life, you're like, oh, that's actually not as bad.
Yeah, so that's kind of part of how exposure therapy typically works, is you actually go past past the level that you would normally experience in day-to-day life.
Right.
So, you know, in Fearless, the final spider levels, the spiders are big, bigger than you would normally encounter, and there's multiple of them on the table. When would you normally ever, in real life, be sitting at a desk and have, like, seven spiders walking around of all different sizes? And, you know, you don't get to that level until you've gotten to the previous levels and felt and become comfortable. So by the time you get to that level, you're only feeling, ideally, some anxiety, but you're not overwhelmed. And then, yeah, that's exactly the idea, is that once you've been able to get to that level, then a real life scenario where there's a little spider walking on the wall doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Could you, like, partner with, like, let's say, like a zoo?
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Like, literally, like, have them do the exposure right before the actual spider.
Maybe,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting idea. I walked into this funny store, I forget the name, in the Mission in San Francisco, and they have all these, like, random things, but they have an insect section where there's, like, you know, insects on with little pins and stuff. It's like a whole section of the store where you can buy these dried insects and or whatever they do to them. And the owner of the store, the manager, said, I was talking to him about Fearless, and he said some people walk into the store, see that section, and walk right out. Because they can't handle being even in the room with these insects. And yeah, I could totally imagine, you know, zoos, that they want to teach people about these animals, and they're, you know, they care about conservation and education. And I'm sure there are tons of people who go to the zoo, see the insect section, and just walk right by or away. And maybe this could be an opportunity to get people more comfortable with these other types of animals.
Yeah. And, you know, fear runs deep in terms of, like, evolutionary reasons.
Yep.
And it only makes sense that we're afraid of such small creatures, I guess.
Yeah. The thing is, so there is an evolutionary basis for fear of spiders. Now, in modern days, the spiders aren't that dangerous. You know, in the U.S., 5 people a year or so die from spiders.
Oh, wow.
Which
that's,
is...
Yeah, that's very, a lot smaller, than, less than I think.
Right. It's a tenth the number of people who die from lightning strikes,
to put it in perspective. I didn't know that, actually.
But 35% of people are afraid of spiders.
Right.
And so whether or not you feel like some degree of fear of spiders is rational, the reaction that people get when they see a spider is almost... is pretty clearly an overreaction.
Right.
You know, people who, you know, the way I used to react, if I saw a spider in the room, I would have to kill it get out of there or get someone else to kill it, really. And that's clearly an overreaction. That's not posing a significant threat to me. Most spiders are completely harmless. So that, yes, there was an evolutionary basis for the existence of the fear, but it's sort of been blown out of proportion.
And so these house spiders that we have now, I mean, I don't know if you're like a botanist or whatnot, but like they are essentially we've killed out the poisonous ones enough from our house that the simple house spiders are just, you know, malignant.
Yeah, so there's thousands and thousands and thousands of species of spider just in the U.S., and there are 2 species that are dangerous to humans, that can kill a human, the black widow and the brown recluse.
Right.
And they, like most spiders, are not aggressive. You know, they'll bite in sort of self-defense if you're trying to, like, squish them or something.
Right.
But mostly they're happy to hang out in a corner in their little web and just eat mosquitoes and things.
Cool.
Yeah, they're not a big threat.
So you're taking a very like a Buddhist kind of Zen approach now to spiders now.
Yeah. I love animals in general. Mm. I don't eat meat. I find the way that, sorry to go off topic, but the way that animals in factory farms are treated, I find to be an abomination.
And so do you see Fearless as kind of like a step in that kind of animal rights movement, or
it wasn't the intention,
right?
But I found personally there was sort of a it felt weird to love animals and hate spiders,
right?
And now I feel much more sort of at peace with my mindset towards animals in general. The fact that I'm okay with it, I like spiders now too. Once you get over the fear, then a spider is a living thing. They have their own little life that they're living. They're fascinating. All these different spiders can do different things, have different types of behaviors, and all these. I feel like it's a more unified view of the world, and maybe I don't know if that's going to be an effect that Fearless would have on the world, but there's a chance that it would have a little bit of that.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not try it? I mean, virtual reality is the first time you can start to actually impact people on a grander level.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Any plans on porting this over to other systems after you launch on Gear, or what's the...
Yeah.
Is it built in Unity?
It's built in Unity. Yep, that's right. And so... I mentioned it already runs on Google Cardboard.
Right.
It will not take a lot of work to get it running on Vive. We'll be on multiple platforms, including augmented reality at some point. We're starting small, so we don't overwhelm ourselves with development cycles and updates and all these things. Right. But the idea is to get this out to as many people as possible.
Do you ever release it?
Well, we're submitting to Oculus hopefully this week.
Nice.
And so
going gold.
Yep. Nice. So it may take a couple weeks to get the submission approved, but hopefully we'll be releasing quite soon.
Yeah, Oculus is kind of odd in the way they do their acceptance of their submissions.
Sure.
But once it's out,
they're new. Yeah.
We will be sure to let people know.
Awesome.
For now, Tim, how can people find you and contact you? If they have comments or questions or maybe even requests of a particular fear that they have.
Sure, yeah.
How can they find you?
So our website is fearlessvr.com. And right now there's a little survey on the website where you can fill out fears that you have that you want to overcome and submit them. And then we can contact you when we launch that fear. Also, if anyone has questions or ideas or anything, they can email me, tim@fearlessvr.com.
Very cool, Tim. That's fantastic. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Research VR Podcast. You can find us at Research VR Cast on Twitter, and you can email us at researchvrcast@gmail.com. See you next time.
Thanks.